Hello, everyone. It's a disembodied voice from the void. Today is April 7th, and we're doing government and security today.
Krista, you don't have a camera on today, but I feel like we should satisfy the fears of the viewers that they pointed out last week. You do not have liver disease.
I don't have liver disease. That was some sort of issue with the camera, and it seems to only be in Discord because OBS does not have any issue. And my preview looks okay in Discord. It's just, for whatever reason, the colors get all weird and inverted. So
I guess it could be on our end, but our video was not affected, so I don't know.
I don't know what's
color palette mismatch.
Yeah, but maybe.
You, in fact, do not have purple lips nor horribly yellow skin.
So. Yet. You know, give it time for the virus to mutate. Maybe, you know, and I catch it.
I don't think that's a symptom of...
It's COVID-20. It's the next one.
Do we think that's safe now?
What?
Saying the word.
I don't know. I think let's experimentally not say it, but include it in the description so that we can delete the description, the timestamps. So we can delete the timestamps and get back the monetization if...
For the next videos.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, except Krista just said it.
I said COVID-20.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Well, that's the test case for video number one. Now, we're going to be talking about government security once again, and I feel like a little bit of deja vu here because we're saying this every week. Not a lot of news.
No.
Except for that one topic. What are you going to do?
Literally everything has shut down. I did record a video on the death of IT, like how... this thing that we're experiencing means that is hastening, like the field service technician, those days are numbered. It's like, oh, your stuff's broken. We're just going to mail you a new one.
I saw that news story. I didn't even include it because I was like,
It's so obvious.
I don't know. I don't know if I believe that.
The field service technician? The field service technician is going to go away. It's not really the death of IT. It's just another transition.
But there is, and perhaps this will die with it. Maybe it's not so much a symptom of, you know, the fever, but it's just old people are dying, and it's raising the bar. Because I'm trying to think about my parents. You can mail them whatever you want. It ain't going to matter. When I buy them something, I'm like, hey, I'll just Amazon Prime this to you. And they're like, no.
No, we're going to need you to drive over here.
You come here with it, and you set it up.
I've been experiencing the opposite of that in the business settings, or not the opposite, but like an analog of that in the business settings, which is a lot of the people that I've had to deal with that insisted on like face-to-face or like in-person meetings are being forced to use other communication skills. And it's glorious because they had zero writing skills, and what was actually happening in the meeting in their mind was completely different than reality. Oh yeah, we gotta have the remote.
And so scene changer.
They're just like, no, in this meeting, I imagined that we covered all this, and I was like, here's a recording of the meeting. We really didn't, and now it's like, oh man, there's a paper
now it's
trail
all written down.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that this? Okay, so this destroys IT. All right, fine, whatever. People need to learn that as a skill themselves. That would be great. Is it also going to destroy the redundant layers of management?
I think it has to. I think that
would be great.
I think the redundant layers of management, most of them lack written communication because the ones that have written communication actually have a clear vision of stuff, but the other people that don't have a clear vision of stuff communicate with abstract language. So they take up all your time with, you know, trying to communicate, but they don't actually say anything. Those people, their days are numbered.
Do you think they realize that?
No, they don't have a clue.
Now, that kind of personality thinks that they actually bring value to
it. You think they are actually essential? An essential business?
That's
and
the
personnel?
That's the old Dunning-Kruger.
Yeah.
Kruger, Mount Stupid.
The top of Mount Stupid.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and again, you know, just going back to the previous point, that had nothing to do with anything, but we got nothing else to talk about.
So it's true.
Just follow any thread that you feel like. You
know? Now's never been a better time to join our Patreon.
All right. And before we even start, you know what? Let's pad it out a little bit more. Did you watch Star Trek Picard?
I did. I caught up on all the episodes. It was very not what I imagined.
You spoiled yourself. But yes. After watching it, do you feel any differently than you did after reading the spoilers?
It's an okay space romp.
I thought so, yeah.
It's not anything more than a grandiose space romp. I feel like that the Roddenberry estate, or the, like, whenever they, because they had to acquire the rights for Picard, right? I feel like that one of the conditions for acquiring the rights to Picard was that they don't mess up the canon too much. So they're like, all right, by the end of the series, basically everything has to go back to normal.
Yeah. Nothing happened except that, and we'll try not to spoil this, but like that one major thing that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I know. It's just like...
But it could have easily, like, how about some slight improvements?
Yeah. I wanted to see 7 of 9, you know. I want to see season 2 as like 7 of 9 in command of a Borg cube. That would be amazing. Think of all the stories you could get out of that. That would be incredible.
Yeah. Also, spoiler alert, how about the fact that, you know, during the regular Star Trek canon, the Borg cube was this like unstoppable juggernaut, but a couple of flowers just flap around on it a little bit and it's done.
That was so funny because it was just like a little flower in the corner of the Borg cube, and I was just like,
granted it was damaged, but still, seems unlikely.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't watch that, so I have nothing to add.
What have you been watching, Krista? What's been on your playlist?
I've been watching a lot of like tiny house tours. Everyone's like posting all the content they have left, you know.
Tiny house, if you have a family, has got to be like really tough right now, don't you think?
Well, usually the way that tiny houses work, they have like big porches, so you go outside a lot. But I mean, it's still kind of cold sometimes, so probably not great.
Well,
but yeah.
Let's move on to the actual news stories. Now, the government is kind of, it's not shut down officially, but they don't seem to be getting a lot done. Really focusing on that one thing. And the FCC is not really an exception, although they have done a couple of things this week of note that we should talk about. One of them is something that they promised to do a long time ago, and now they're finally doing it.
The FCC mandates robocall fighting tech to be used by the end of June 2021. Phone service and everybody else, it's the stir-shaken protocol that we've talked about before. They're just like, all right, June 2021. That gives us a year. Let's do it.
Phone companies don't have a choice. They have to do it. Although, does it really take a year?
No.
Isn't that kind of just a toggle switch?
Yeah.
I have not been getting as many calls lately.
They can't do anything at the call center, right? I would think you could do that remotely, but I don't think most of them.
If they're operating illegally somewhere, I don't know if that's...
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But whatever. Maybe that's one of the little silver linings of this whole thing, is the robocallers are out of work, too.
Woo!
The FCC has also been hot on the trail of some government fraud. Now, this is the program that was, you know, called the Obama phone. I think maybe it started before him and he was just blamed for it. I don't know. But
blamed and or credited, depending on your point of view.
Low-income phones, mobile phones, for people who can't otherwise afford them. And this is, you know, government subsidized. You pay tax on your phone bill, and that's what pays for this. But the companies that gave them out may have had some sneaky commission systems in place for it, and that's a no-no.
FCC TrackPhone, according to the FCC, TrackPhone made up fictitious customers to defraud low-income program. So basically, TrackPhone was getting cash for all these wireless accounts, but in fact, those people didn't exist. In one case, they used the same Social Security number 4 times. They also took a lot of real subscribers that were ineligible for the program, and somehow the salespeople or otherwise finagled the system to make those ineligible people suddenly eligible so they could get a rebate.
Now, it doesn't seem like TrackPhone was in on this necessarily. For whatever reason, they had a commission system, and it was the individual employees or stores who were kind of racking up the money from that. And TrackPhone was, when they found out about it, they were like, yeah, we kind of did that. Sorry, we didn't really mean to. But the FCC didn't take a light hand with this. I think, they made like $1 million and some dollars, $1.8 million.
Yeah.
And the FCC is going to fine them too.
Hmm.
So, for one, they didn't gain more money from the crime than they're going to pay in the penalty.
It's too bad they're not a large provider like AT&T or Verizon.
I think that's why.
Yeah.
I think
TrackPhone's probably fairly large, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
but
not huge, but
not large enough to influence pie. Is what I'm saying. So, here come the choppers, the black helicopters.
Yeah, there's a lot of air activity today.
My husband's bringing groceries in, so I'm muting myself periodically. Weird times.
So, Call of Duty. Now, when you play Call of Duty, and you see the items on the screen, do you think, I got to get me one of those?
Sometimes, I imagine.
Well, except the weapons and stuff are not civilian, usually.
Doesn't matter. That makes you want it even more.
If you want to go to the black market, pick up a
exclusive.
That's automatic rifle. I don't think people are thinking that. I don't think a lot of people... Now, there might be some people in the military procurement office who are playing some Call of Duty, and they're like, oh, man, yeah. But I just... This case seems frivolous to me, and in fact, it has been found so.
Call of Duty wins First Amendment victory over use of Humvees. So I guess the firm that sells Humvees to the United States government said, hey, we haven't licensed the right for Humvees to appear in this video game. And Activision said, well, we just want a realistic, you know, war shooter. Humvees are part of the equation there. And the judge said, yeah, and not only is that agreeable, I'll give you summary judgment. So it didn't even go to a full trial.
But it is true, if you make a car racing game, for example, you have to license all those cars.
But I didn't know that.
Humvees, I don't know how integral they are to the Call of Duty experience. I mean, they really are. It's just kind of like...
Well, that's a big part of every review you write for Call of Duty. It's like, well, oh, I love the Humvee.
Well, the judge said that. The judge said that just on the fact that their premise for the game is realistic war game, that meets the artistic standard. But the judge also went on to say that because Call of Duty actually has like a campaign mode with a story, that's even more artistic. So even before we get to the campaign mode, it met the artistic criteria for the use of Humvees.
Now, Humvee pointed out that the Call of Duty people use Humvees in their promotional material a lot. In fact, they have Humvees that are wrapped with Call of Duty wrap that they take to shows and stuff. But that still wasn't enough, according to this judge.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense because, you know, you will have bought a Humvee. It's like when Robot Chicken makes all the parody stuff, they actually buy the real toys so that when they're sued, they're like, this is us filming us playing with toys. You can't sue us over that.
Now, you can buy government surplus Humvees, and they're pretty cheap. But according to what I've read from people who've come out of the military, that is the last thing you want to buy in the world. Two of the major things that people who've never been in the military don't realize that Humvees don't have... locks and ignition keys.
Neat.
Just don't have that in the military.
Just assume no one's going to take them.
I understand that because in a combat situation, it's like, oh God, where's the keys? You know, we got here, but in a civilian
life, you drop
them
in the dirt, and then there you are.
Yeah. So, but if you really want one, if you want to be the ultimate, you know, tactical, you can get them surplus. New York is the epicenter of all of this destruction. Man, the numbers coming out of New York.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Remember when we were looking at them from Wuhan? It's like, wow, imagine that here. Well, here we are.
Here it is, yeah.
And it's madness. But they are still legislating. And I guess maybe because of all of this, they've sort of loosened their grip on the transportation rules in New York.
New York finally legalizes electric bikes and scooters. Careful there, though. It's only three classes of electric bikes and scooters, up to, I think, 25 miles an hour. And it's like pedal assist, throttle assist, and then like full-on like electric skateboard kind of thing. And there's specific rules, and it's also up to each different municipality to set their own rules. So it's not that they're outright banned at a state level. It's just up to the individual municipalities to decide how they're going to deal with it. So there's a lot more hurdles to jump through here. And also the speed limitation of 25 miles an hour. You know, I saw Lewis Rossman, who lives in New York, criticizing that because he said those lower speeds, that the crime rate is so bad in New York, somebody would just hit you in the face with a lock and take your bike.
Wouldn't it be worse to get hit at a higher speed?
Well, at a higher speed, they won't try it because it might hurt themselves.
I guess they're just desperately trying to get people off of like public transport where they're all crammed in like sardines.
So we'll give, some replacement for it without crowding the streets, I would think.
Well, right now the streets are definitely not crowded.
How about this amazing targeted advertising going on this page? Excellent.
Five levels of hill crushing pedal assist. Nice.
We thought about cutting this one because it is just one man's commentary. A lot of news stories, you know, like I'll click the link because it seems interesting and it's just somebody commenting on something and it's like, well, is this really news? But it does point out that Microsoft has kind of, you know, we talk about when these big corporations, they jump in and they're like, regulate me, daddy, please, I need it. What they're really saying is, let me write the regulation and let's get in front of this before it gets serious and someone makes a real law about this.
Yeah.
And I think that's the praise that he's heaping upon this.
Yeah. Microsoft president calls Washington State's new face recognition law a significant breakthrough. So in his public commentary, what he's saying is that the way that the law is written, which quote-unquote respects user privacy and prevents government abuse and some other things, would still allow things like Windows Hello, like face recognition technology. Because remember, in like California, technically California's anti-face recognition law, and I think also one in Massachusetts was the other place that we covered, things like Windows Hello, where it scans your face to recognize you, would not be allowed, even though theoretically maybe that information doesn't leave the laptop. So the president of Microsoft is saying, hey, this law will allow those kind of technologies while maybe preventing abuse. But really, the law just dovetails with the technology Microsoft already has. So, like you're saying, it puts them on a more secure footing versus their competition.
That dog's making a lot of noise. What's she up to?
She is. She's upset because I had to put her in the crate for a minute.
The crate? What did she do?
Well, my husband was bringing in groceries and I didn't want her to rush out the door. So.
Oh, will she bolt out?
She comes back, but yeah, she does like to go outside, so she's not allowed outside without a leash.
So,
but now she's whining, so.
So you should let her out.
I did let her out.
During this terrible time, we are all stuck at home, and one thing you can do to pass the time is, of course, read. And the National Archive has taken a dramatic step to open up more reading opportunities for all the plebs. But the people who wrote those books, not too fond of it.
Authors and publishers condemn the National Emergency Library, run by the Internet Archive, as piracy. See, a bunch of libraries are shut down, and a bunch of libraries have electronic versions of their books. And some libraries will allow you to check out an electronic version, but it still has a human process to it. The New York Public Library, you can do it all online. So what, with all these public libraries shut down, the Internet Archive said, hey, we can figure out how many copies that we could actually run for all of these shutdown libraries. Let's let people check that out. And so the publishers and the authors, some of them, are saying, whoa, 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 these are other different copies than the ones that the shutdown libraries have. You should buy those again.
They also pointed out that some of them have not made their copies available for electronic distribution at all. But the argument here is like, well, these technically aren't electronic. These are just proxies for the real ones that we have, but they're not happy about that.
You can't format shift a book. It's not allowed. It's like, but you can format shift TV shows. The Supreme Court said you could format shift TV shows. Why can't you format shift a book?
So
how crazy is that people are just like, no, you can't read.
Well, they're trying to make a living.
Book. Yeah.
Now they pointed out that the median annual income for a writer is $20,000, but I got to think the low end of that is really dragging it down.
Yeah.
Like there's got to be some who are making basically nothing because they're not real yeah. writers.
Yeah.
They put that on their taxes or whatever. But
yeah, they're like self-published or something. You know, they're not really getting a lot.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's an interesting argument because it probably is difficult to make money in that field. But at the same time, copyright is usually pretty horrible. And Google, we all know that Google guards the secret of the search algorithm closer than any government secret has ever been guarded. Like, how hard do you think China is fighting to try to get to that at any given time?
Probably really hard.
I would love to see the, you know, the counter espionage team in Google and how hard they go at that. But
China's probably got their hands full of some other stuff right now.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, China seems to be getting over it. Of course, a lot of people are saying that's false, but whatever, they're opening back up and they're kind of pressing the offensive in all of the like trade wars and, you know, military flexing and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, the Imagination Technologies, that's a whole other, like the UK company, the Chinese people, they're trying to replace the board with Chinese interests.
But anyway, the Google thing, one problem they have with that is that a lot of people claim that the algorithm is not fair. And it pushes Google's products before, or Google's ads before everything else. And it kills you in the search engine. And how do you prove that when it's a secret? And that's what's at stake in the UK.
A UK judge has given Google a choice. Either let an SEO expert read your ranking algorithm or withdraw high court evidence. So basically, there's a company that was running some kind of, they were doing really well on Google, and then Google started offering a competing product, and then they stopped doing really well on Google. And they said, hey, that's probably an antitrust thing. So they hired a consultant, an SEO consultant, and Google is saying, well, this guy works as an SEO consultant. He would have commercial interest in knowing what the algorithm is, and if he actually knew it, he would be able to be like a super consultant after this case is over. And so the high court said, okay, if that's true, then withdraw your claims that, you know, the algorithm behaves this way, this way, this way. We're just going to use external evidence as to how it behaves.
They don't like that either. So he's giving them a deadline. Choose one or the other. I got to think that they keep it a secret, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they let him see
it.
They countered and said, hey, you know what? We'll let an expert look at it. One of these two people. You choose one of these two people that we have. And the judge is like, come on. What am I, stupid?
Probably going to be more antitrust fines.
And Huawei, we know, has been blacklisted from any parts or operating systems or anything like that that comes from the United States. And the question was, how are they going to build a modern smartphone without U.S.-sourced parts? And the answer seems to be, ignore it.
Teardown of Huawei flagship phone finds U.S. parts despite blacklisting. Teardown of the new smartphone identified U.S. parts makers including Qualcomm and Skyworks. So, yeah, basically you buy the new phone, you take it apart, and it's like, hey, this was manufactured in America, this was manufactured in America, this was manufactured in America. Things are getting real dicey with this trade war, and I don't think America is smart enough to handle it properly. Like, I mean, I know what the people in America want the outcome of that trade war to be. I just think that the more they meddle, the worse it's going to be for Americans and American companies.
But you got to think that, I mean, what are we going to do? You can't punish China for this or Huawei. I guess you got to go after Qualcomm, right?
Yeah, but how do you, like, if you know, they set up a shell corporation and it's, you know, like Ericsson. And so, like, Qualcomm's like, hey, we got to build a cell for Ericsson. We had no idea that Ericsson was going to then sell to Huawei. How do we even control that?
That's a good question. I bet there, some of those intermediary companies are making a killing.
Yeah.
Doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good business to be until you get caught.
Middle management? Yeah.
Until you have to put everything in writing. Then you're screwed. Do you guys remember that time that Saudi Arabia was on the Human Rights Commission?
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of tone deaf, wasn't it? Almost as tone deaf as this.
China joins the UN Human Rights Panel and will help pick experts on free speech, health, and arbitrary detention.
What a good time for this.
Arbitrary detention, did they not just lock up a bunch of doctors?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
did
weird.
Did they not just, you know, have a concentration camp full of Muslims? Is that still not a thing?
Yeah, like, did they not just harvest a bunch of organs?
Oh, yeah, the livers. And what about that firewall that controls all speech?
You know, I was looking at the stuff that's happening in New York and, like, the bad reporting and the lack of health equipment and the doctors getting fired for complaining about the lack of proper equipment and the private equity front-loaded, like, all the hospitals that have been taken over by private equity. And then I'm looking at all the reporting that we're doing on China, and it's like, ooh.
It's the Spider-Man picture where they're both pointing at each other.
But
hey.
China is more in your face about it. You know, they just basically admit it. So I'm always, you know, back and forth. It's like, is that better or worse? But when you're talking about a Human Rights Council,
yeah,
when they just flagrantly throw it in your face, it's like, yeah, you will disappear. And we want to be on the council that decides.
Saudi Arabia on the Women's Rights Commission.
So, pretty shocking. Now, performance rights organizations. That was a new acronym for me. I mean, I knew this kind of thing went on, but I didn't know there was a name for it like that. And these are people who try to figure out when a performance is like a public performance. Well, how many people can you show a movie to before it's...
Two.
Is it two now?
Is it really two?
I thought it was more than that. But there is and remember when the Xbox came out and they rolled this back because of the backlash, but it had a facial recognition.
Yeah.
And if it was, I think it was more than eight.
Yeah.
If it saw more than eight faces and some people's pets got caught up in it, it was like, no, this is a public showing of this movie. Yeah. This cannot
happen. Drink verification can.
And they point out some more examples in here, like a woman singing while stocking grocery shelves. Public performance, right? Somebody's got to be paid for this. That's not your song. Well, perhaps one of the most ridiculous arguments, the arguments they've ever made, has thankfully been knocked down.
EU says that, nope, rental car companies don't need to pay a license to rent cars with radios that might possibly play music. Good job, EU.
I have nothing to say about this other than what?
Over the life of the car rental, that radio would be broadcasting to a lot of people who didn't buy radios, I guess, even though radio income doesn't go to the artists. Luckily, they shot it down, but these people are insane. So, this was in Sweden, of all places. I thought they were better about this kind of thing.
I've heard Sweden's not, like, the crown jewel right now.
Well, they're not taking the big problem very seriously, are they?
No.
Like, they're the one who's just like, eh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
It'll be really bad. See also New York.
Yeah, meanwhile, Norway's, like, locked down.
And, you know, we're locked down to some extent, but not to the extent that the authoritarians would love to take it and see Moscow for what they would like to do, and probably eventually will.
Moscow to launch new surveillance app to track residents in the lockdown for the thing. Woo!
So you're thinking, how does this work? Well, okay, so you're going to get an app on your phone, mandatory, you must have it, and that's going to generate a QR code, and when you are in public, you can be stopped at any time and challenged for your QR code. And then, you know, that gets scanned, and then you have to give them a reason where you're going, and they look at your history and stuff like that. Don't have a phone? You will be assigned one by the powers that be, along with your QR code.
Neat.
Is Muscovite, is what that they call someone from Moscow? That's how this article writes it. Muscovite?
Sounds right to me. Never thought
sounds
about
strange.
That.
Strange. Yeah.
Muscovian?
Moscowan?
And moving on to security, so many stories about Zoom this week. Zoom is the hottest new household name. No one had ever heard of it before all this, and they've just launched into the public mind. But that's starting to point out some of the unfortunate things about Zoom that they kind of got away with before because they weren't that popular, but now the magnifying glass is on them, and it's not the prettiest picture in every case. One problem is they use just IDs, random IDs, to define the rooms. And if you can guess them, then you can just join. And that results in problems.
Zoom will enable waiting rooms by default to stop Zoom bombing. Yeah, some states' attorneys general have warned that this is actually a federal hacking crime, which I kind of doubt, but okay, whatever.
Guessing an ID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did the story last week about the naked guy who popped in on a school classroom. That's disturbing. There are a lot of people who are advertising with this or just randomly showing pornography or whatever, you know, just trolling.
As we'll learn later in the nonsense section. Zoom's had a lot of problems this week. They had security issues. It was bad. It was really bad.
And one of those security issues had to do with the video calls. Now, is it by default you get a recording? It's because you can go back and review. Obviously, it's like, oh, we're going to do this conference call. And if you missed it, you can go back and review it. And those are stored on the Zoom servers in most cases.
But they also advertised that they had end-to-end encryption, which is not technically true.
Well, but without setting up the password on the room, it didn't matter. Because that same ID for the room, if you could guess that, then if you guessed it with the recording URL, guess what?
Zoom videos exposed online, highlighting privacy risks. Yeah, some people just using Zoom, they had no idea. And a lot of people have downloaded those recordings. Whoops.
Might be some corporate espionage going on. That.
If the corporation was that stupid to begin with, they've probably already been espionaged and don't realize it.
Well, I guess so. And another problem with Zoom, as we found out last week, is they had that little Facebook integration, which gave Facebook all the telemetry. You know, that thing that one company did that they got crucified for and went out of business. Well, it turns out Facebook is not the only social application that they had this secret alliance with.
A feature on Zoom secretly displayed data from people's LinkedIn profiles. An inquiry from the Times reported Zoom said it would disable data mining feature that could be used to snoop on participants during meetings without their knowledge. Yeah, so Zoom has special access. So, like, you could, like, whatever they set up on LinkedIn, you can go do things on LinkedIn. Most people don't realize how insidiously evil LinkedIn is. It is fabulously evil, hideously evil.
Does anyone actually like LinkedIn?
No, no one does. But everybody feels like they have to do it because everybody else is doing it. And it's like, no.
I think some people do like it. I think a lot of those, like, you know, corporate ladder climbers really love it because.
I mean, if you're looking for a job, it's useful. I don't understand.
I don't even check
it often.
I don't even know if it's super useful as like if you're searching for a job, because the more intelligence that a potential employer can get on you, the more they potentially are able to pigeonhole you. So you might be really amazing at whatever else, but they'll look at your other stuff and be like, you know, I see that you worked bagging groceries at Walmart. I'm never going to give you more than X.
You know that if you have a bad credit score, the best advice they give you is to eliminate all credit for a year, then you'll have no credit score. And that's way better than having a bad credit score. So I think that's kind of an analog there.
Yeah.
Well, we all know that at least empirical evidence points to the fact that our microphones are constantly listening. You discuss something, and all of a sudden it's in your targeted ads, and you're like, I didn't search for that. I didn't type that word anywhere. And a lot of people will argue passionately on both sides of that. It's like, no, it couldn't be the case. And other people are like, are you stupid? Come on. Look what they're doing. Of course they're reading our emails and stuff. Why wouldn't they do this? Well, Apple seems to be a little bit more in the that may be happening camp, because they're taking precautions.
Apple brings its hardware microphone disconnect feature to iPads. So any iPad case that is certified, quote-unquote, made for iPad, which includes a magnet, basically, when the iPad is closed or the presence of the magnet is on the face of the iPad, the T2 chip inside the iPad will disconnect the microphone. It's been like that on Apple laptops for a while, that when the magnet in the lid is sensed by the magnetometer in the or the Hall effect sensor or whatever in the keyboard part of the laptop, then the T2 chip physically disconnects the microphone, if Apple is to be believed.
If they're to be believed.
I wonder, I have to question, is it really physically disconnected, or is it that only Apple can listen?
Probably only that Apple, because I guarantee you that it's like, hey, we need to turn this into a bug for this, you know, federal warrant or whatever. They're like, okay, sounds good.
Only activate it when it's closed and they feel safe enough to talk about things. Yeah, that'd be useful. Well, we're in this big crisis, and our online lives are more important than ever because it's the only way that we can communicate with one another. And imagine this without the internet. It would be insane. And I worry that this is one of those situations like we were talking about earlier with Microsoft and the facial recognition, where these giant corporations sort of sense this opportunity and they're like, oh, let's reshape things during the crisis. Usually governments do this. Yeah, usually you count on a government to do this, but I think they're kind of like learning from that. They're like, wait a minute, we could do this ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's form a coalition.
What's your manners? Akamai, Amazon, Netflix, Microsoft, Google, and pals join the internet routing security effort. Filtering, anti-spoofing, coordination, validation to prevent crooks, spies, and from hijacking victims' connections. So this is talking about the Border Gateway Protocol, which should have been overhauled a long time ago. You know those stories that we do occasionally where it's like, hey, suddenly traffic bound for St. Louis was routed through China for a little while. And it's because somebody claims ownership of a block of IP addresses that they shouldn't. And sometimes when they do it maliciously, you don't notice because they claim ownership of the block of IPs and then route it to where it's supposed to go. It's like somebody mails you a UPS package that accidentally goes through Langley, Virginia. And it's like, that's weird. Why did my package go through Langley? We're nowhere near Langley, Virginia. That's crazy. Why would it do that?
So they claim that they're going to do some things about that. And a lot of it is just like awareness and trying to let people know. I don't know if that's a normie-friendly enough topic to just have awareness for the random people.
No.
Yeah. You got to do something more than that.
Yeah.
We'll see. If you flash your own firmware onto your home router and you feel good about yourself and you're like, yeah, I'm ahead of the curve. Maybe not.
Bad news. Much. OpenWRT code execution bug puts millions of devices at risk. Again! A partial fix mitigates the risk, but the lack of encryption and other weaknesses remain. So, yeah, this is a remote exploit if you're running OpenWRT. Patch now, or at least reconfigure.
Like you say, not the first time. Just keeps happening.
Time to step up to a big boy router operating system.
And this week we have the breach of the week, and oddly enough, it's a hotel chain. Wow. You
probably aren't doing well right now anyway.
This was from before. I think this is from February.
Yeah.
Right before the business probably fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
So now you're stuck at home, and on top of that, maybe your identity is going to be stolen.
Marriott discloses a new breach impacting 5.2 million guests, basically all the guests. We reported on this a couple of times, but Marriott was being kind of cagey, and they were saying, oh, this is an old customer list. And then they were saying, oh, wait, this was a mailing list. This is just a marketing mailing list. Nope. It turns out they've got the names, addresses, and loyalty account numbers and other personal information, maybe even credit cards in some cases. So this is really, really bad.
It's a big number. Having to pay a fine after no business for 2 months could be bad.
But they get bailed out.
That's true. They're like, ah, fine us whatever you want. Just add it to our tab, our government tab.
My favorite thing about the bailouts is that all the hospitals, they're like, oh my gosh, we're not making any money. Let's cut doctors' salaries during this crisis. And it's like, I'm sorry, what?
Aren't they asking, like in New York, I think they're asking doctors to come, like, come volunteer right now. And it's like, who would do that?
Yeah. Oh, there are people doing that. I've seen where, like, they're convoys of ambulances going to these epicenters carrying medical personnel.
A lot of these hospitals have been bought by private equity, and that's part of the problem because the hospitals have taken on so much debt that it literally would be better from an economic standpoint to just walk away and start a new hospital.
And
makes you feel good.
Investing in healthcare, you know, I'm all for the free market and everything, but like prisons and hospitals, public utilities, we need to reshape those. I'm not saying they need to be completely like, you know, communism, but
you know what happened to Sears and Toys R Us? See, the crazy thing about Sears is that Sears could have outcompeted Amazon because they owned all of their stores dating back to the dawn of time. So they had all their distribution. They were bought with their own assets as leverage, which is crazy. It's like that, but with hospitals. Like, hospitals are being Sears right now, which is very bad. And they're going to get bailed out because they're critical. So you can do whatever crazy, shady, funny Wall Street math you want with a hospital, and it ultimately is not going to matter because the hospital has to continue operating one way or the other.
But if you just sold off the assets, and it's like, all right, we're going to hire all the same doctors and all the same personnel, but you lose everything. And here's the new owner. He's got cash in hand. Why not? Why not do that?
That's unconstitutional. That's seizing someone. That's the state seizing someone's property.
No, we're not seizing it. We're just like, okay, do you want zero or do you want 25%?
Oh, like the bad debt, you mean?
No, like let the debt crush them.
Oh, okay.
The asset, the things in the hospital are the only things we care about.
Yeah.
But then you've got the insurance companies and like the, you know, networks. The health networks, that would all come crumbling down, which would be great. Now, a lot of celebrities are going to social media, and let's be honest, they're probably just bored.
Right? Yep.
They're bored, and they're mega rich, and they're like, oh, peons, I will randomly select some of you who are about to die from all of this, and I will shower you with money so that I can get praise. And that's nice. You know, that's not, we can't say that's a bad thing, but it does create sort of an acceptance that's like, oh, maybe I am one of the lucky ones. And more often than not, you're not one of the lucky ones. You're a victim.
Cash App scammers are using the thing to exploit people. So the article talks not just about the thing that you're describing, but like we've got a government check that's coming. And so some of it is just like, hey, this is how you apply for your government check. And it just steals all your info.
But the ones, I don't know, people fall for this. Well, we shouldn't judge them, I guess, but if someone says, hey, I've got this $500 to give you, but I need $25 from you in order to deliver it.
Sounds like a scam.
Couldn't we just take that $25 out of the $500? I mean, you've got money is fungible and you've got that money. Just subtract it and then, no, they can't do that. So if that's the deal that somebody's trying to give you,
Something's wrong. It's
not run away.
That's it for this episode. What do we got for tomorrow?
What, let's see what kind of time we did this week. 39.
Ooh.
We'll be 40 by the time we're done. Tomorrow we'll do all business once again. Business is the one dependable batch of stories.
It's all bad, though.
Well,
it is all bad.
Is that not
but
most
it's
of the
something.
Time? It's a little worse than usual.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Krista.